We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Covering the Miami Heat from deep in the paint to beyond the arc and always inside the 305. This is Red Hot Hoops. Now, here's Alex Dono and Hollywood.
Welcome into a pre-trade deadline edition of Red Hot Hoops, an Odyssey podcast talking all things Miami Heat, NBA, South Florida basketball. Alex Dono alongside the man they call Hollywood. Hollywood, a day before the deadline, the Heat already made their blockbuster deal, right? They moved Dwayne Dedmon to San Antonio for cash consideration. So I don't know. You think we're done before the deadline?
Don't forget there was a second round pick in there in like 2035 or something as well.
So. 2028.
Yeah. How far off in advance are we allowed to trade these picks, man? This is crazy stuff. We're going to be like 50 years old and we're going to be like, oh, wow. Yeah, we still have that pick left over from the trade.
Oh, man. Well, no, that actually went in San Antonio's direction, wasn't it? It was Dedmon and the 2028 second round pick to San Antonio to get a little bit farther under the luxury tax, opening up an extra roster spot. I mean, not surprising with Dedmon, right? I mean, first of all, he was having a crappy year. Like, let's start there. Like, Dwayne Dedmon was awful this year, minus 11 net rating in a Heat uniform. And then he had the massage gun incident, and, you know, he's only played once since. So, I mean, we kind of figured if they could make any sort of a deal for Dedmon, Spoelstra and Pat were going to get him off the roster.
Yeah, it certainly felt that way, and now he's gone, and like you mentioned, opens up a roster spot, and I think it's going to be very interesting tomorrow to see and you know, into tonight how this thing ends up getting filled, and you know, if there's a move out there to be made, and you know, I think the Kevin Durant thing is going to be very interesting to watch. I know that, you know, they've said that they're going to hold on to him, and I think that the Nets probably should at this point, but this offseason is going to be very, very interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, so the Heat are now $4.9 million below the luxury tax threshold. They've also created a $4.7 million trade exception that's going to expire next year. It's got to be used within a year. The Heat have a history of letting those expire, so having that doesn't guarantee anything happens here. You know, one of the things from a potential outgoing trade standpoint that's being talked about over the last couple of days, and I love how this report surfaced like a day after Kyrie Irving gets traded, not to the Heat. How, you know, then after Kyrie goes to Denver, then you see the report come out from the Miami Herald that the Heat are like, they're softening their stance on trading Kyle Lowry because they had led everyone to believe until pretty recently that, you know, they're not interested in moving Lowry. Lowry, by the way, is not going to even play for the next three games for, you know, injury concerns. It might be more to maybe preserve a potential trade option, but we're not going to see Lowry for the next few games in a Heat uniform. So, you know, he looks like he could be tradable now. He's got a very, you know, a contract you would love to move. And if you're trying to make a big move, you know, if you need to match salary for salary, that's one of the bigger salaries on the team. Obviously, the Heat maybe could be interested in moving Duncan Robinson as well. But I think Hollywood, in order to move either of those guys, because Lowry is old and hasn't been in great form, Duncan Robinson is, you know, a three-point shooter who hasn't been consistently hitting his three-point shots. I think in order to move either of those guys, you may have to use one of your first-round picks going in the other direction as sweetener. I don't know if the Heat are willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough, man. I mean, but I think the Heat have spoken on Kyle Lowry. He's not playing down the stretch of games right now. He's, you know, he's just unusable, unfortunately, at this stage in his career. And, you know, it's another kind of unfortunate contract that the Heat have given out here. I don't know, man. You got to find a team that's willing to take him on and deal with him. And you know, I don't know, man. I think that's going to be very, very difficult. I always thought Duncan Robinson would have a little bit of value to someone, though. You know, yeah. I mean, this is a league that's a 3-point. It's funny to me that Miami, as poor as they are with their 3-point shooting, still can't find something to do with this guy, somewhere to put him into the rotation. That, you know, again, kind of speaks volumes about Duncan Robinson. I mean, look, if he can't find a spot in the Heat rotation on a team that is struggling to shoot threes the way that they are, what makes you think some other team is going to give up anything, you know, of significance or even take him on? Because he's owed a lot of money as well. So I think those are two tough pieces to move here. But, you know, look, you want to improve flexibility and you know, again, and try to make a run at some guys in the offseason. But,
yeah,
I don't know, man. I don't know who you're going to find as a dance partner out there.
Well, and when you talk about making a run at some guys in the offseason, the carrots are getting dangled again as to who might be available. So this is one of those things. So Pat Riley is going to have to decide, obviously, within the next day, you know, am I willing to try to make, you know, a splash right now? And I don't know if on the trade deadline, if you're going to be able to get a game season changing type of player. I mean, if somebody like John Collins might be the best you can do. I mean, I know that there could be like some pie in the sky hopes out there, like is OG Anunoby on the block from Toronto. There's mixed reports about that, but it also sounds like they're asking for the moon for this guy. So I don't think that's a deal that the Heat could swing right now. But then in terms of the offseason coming up, here's a quote from Ira Winderman at the South Florida Sun Sentinel this week. He said, quote, I have been told that if the Heat do not move Kyle Lowry at Thursday's NBA trade deadline, that the Heat very much will return to the mindset of an offseason run at Kevin Durant or Bradley Beal should either express a desire to move on. Okay, so if you're telling me I can either make a crappy trade today or maybe move for Kevin Durant or Bradley Beal in a few months, I would take option B. But then the risk there is, obviously, things have changed between Kevin Durant and the Nets now that Kyrie has been traded. And it seems like the Nets might be softening their stance on maybe thinking about trading him. You know, they would ask for, you know, for a huge return on that, as they should. I mean, it's Kevin Durant. And Bradley Beal, he's been teasing this for like 10 years. Does this guy want to be traded? I feel like he's going to be a wizard for life at this rate. But at the same time, Hollywood, if maybe moving a first round pick today or tomorrow could limit your ability to use a piece like that in a much bigger trade in a few months, I feel like Riley might just hold on and wait till the summer to make a big move.
You know, we were joking about that on the show the other morning about how someone had tweeted out that if Kevin Durant became available, the Heat would be interested. And it's like, yeah, every team in the NBA, all 29 other teams would be interested in Kevin Durant. I mean, the guy's one of the best players in the league without question. If I'm not mistaken, remember last time Miami made a run at Kevin Durant, they lost Dwayne Wade in the process, right? If I'm not mistaken,
that was the same. Yep.
So yeah, so it wouldn't be the first time they've tried to make a run at Kevin Durant. I mean, look, I think you have to decide if you're the Heat. You know, is this the core that we want to continue to roll with? And that core being Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler, right? I mean, you're not going to be able to get any of these guys and keep that group together. I don't believe. I you know, if you want to make a trade, you're going to have to get something of some sort of value up.
Yeah.
And to me, those are the only three guys that I think anyone would see significant value in. Unless I'm missing something that maybe you could help me with, Dono. But I don't think outside of those three, there's anything significant there. And you know, look at what Dallas gave up just to get Kyrie as a rental. You know, they gave up some pretty decent players and some draft capital and stuff. And so, you know, and Dallas, you know, how about that? Dallas says, you know, we'll figure out a contract at the end of the season if we're going to sign this guy. And, you know, no one seems very willing to hand Kyrie his 4-year deal that he's looking
for. And that's the craziest thing. That's the craziest thing ever, because like the last guy you want to make a move like that for would be Kyrie. If you're like, oh, we'll figure out the contract down the road. It's like, oh, listen, This is the flakiest professional athlete in the game right now. I mean, I don't know if you can actually expect you're going to come to an agreement down the road on a long-term deal. That seems like a big gamble on my part.
Assuming they want to, right?
And yeah, right.
To me, that deal was more about trying to show Luka that we're trying to win, and you know, we want to win with you here. And that's kind of what it shows me. I think it's an insane thing to bring a guy like that in, especially when you got to give stuff up. I mean, and I thought it was funny their owner blocked them from going to L.A. said send him anywhere other than L.A. L.A. would have been just fine.
Yeah.
Right? Let him go, you know, rot away over there with LeBron. That team's not very good anyway, you know. I don't know, man. Is it risky for the Mavericks? I guess it'll be interesting to see if they're able to win some playoff rounds here, but – yeah, someone's got to give that guy a 4-year deal. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine tying yourself to that guy. He's going to be 34 at the end of that deal or something around that. I mean, imagine tying yourself to that.
So in your opinion, when you're doing basically a half season rental for Kyrie, is anything short of a championship acceptable? Like if you were to get to the Western Conference Finals, you don't win that, and then, you know, he leaves and he goes to L.A. or somewhere next year, and, you know, then you're basically starting all over again. Was that deal worth it? Because I can totally say if you win the trophy, it's worth it. If you win the championship, then, you know, the same thing with Kawhi in Toronto a few years back. That was a season-long rental, but they won a championship, so it was worth it. I think the proof is in the pudding there. But if anything short of a championship, if Dallas can't retain him, is it worth it?
I mean, if you win a championship, I would say, you know, obviously, yes, it's worth it. But I still think they're a long shot to win it all. I really do. You know, and I think Kyrie, you know, look, I've already said I think Kyrie's a tremendous player. I think he makes him significantly better. But I just don't get him, man. Like, you know, we were talking to Brian Geltzeiler today on the show, you know, from SiriusXM, and, you know, said all of us, you know, things are starting to go well in Brooklyn, right? Did it feel that way? Like things were starting to click a little bit. Team was playing well. Durant was hurt, and you know, Kyrie was playing well, but, you know, you got Kevin Durant coming back. The team's in position to make a playoff run, and this guy, you know, starts screaming he wants out. It just the whole thing doesn't add up to me, man. And he's had a problem everywhere he's gone. He had a problem dealing with LeBron in Cleveland. The Boston situation was a complete mess. And now he forces his way out of here right before the deadline. I don't get him, man. I never will. But, you know, look, will it go perfectly in Dallas? I think it's highly unlikely, right? I really do. But, you know, I don't know. It seems like Luka's the last superstar in the league he hasn't burnt bridges with, maybe between Luka or Giannis, because those guys aren't part of that same group as everyone else. But I don't know. I think it's very unlikely they win a championship.
Yeah, you know, when that trade to Dallas went down, my initial reaction was, like, I was just kind of disappointed that it wasn't the Heat. But then when I thought about it for more than 3 seconds, I'm like, yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't think the Heat had the ammunition to make that deal, nor does Pat Riley want to take on that risk. Relief. I mean, breathing a sigh of relief at the end of it, right? Because it would have been exciting just to have the headlines of a guy like that coming to town. But then at the same time, more trouble than he's worth, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, look, think about how much of an idiot this guy is. He's got his introductory press conference in Dallas, and he decides he's going to go on his Instagram and delete his apology that he put out. I mean, how stupid can you be? You know, at least, again, like I told you, I obviously don't think he was apologetic whatsoever for what he did. And, you know, he's a good enough player that it probably doesn't matter, right? He can say whatever he wants at this point, it seems like. And, you know, it's but how dumb can you be? And then you go out there at your press conference and you're talking about, oh, I delete stuff all the time from my Instagram. Then he goes on to say he's got Jewish people in his family. It's just pure stupidity and a distraction already. Guy's not even there for a day, and he's a massive distraction. Because, again, why don't you just at least show the, you know, just give off the impression that you care, right? That you're willing to play. That there's a little bit that goes along with this, right? It's like, you know, like they talk about an entourage of being a movie star. You got to play the game a little bit here.
Yeah, because that's what Ari was always telling Vincent Chase. You got to play the game, Vinny.
as a professional athlete, you got to play the game a little, Kyrie. And look, you want to spend your off season hating Jews or whatever it is that you do. That's up to you, man. But like, you're in the middle of the season. Why don't you just give off the impression that you care a little bit, you know? Yeah. And I know he doesn't. He never meant that apology. No. And that was one of the most forced apologies in the history of apologies, right? But you know, I don't know, man. It's just it's pathetic. He's pathetic, and you know, Ged just never gives off the impression that he gets what's going on around him.
I completely agree. Now, the Heat do have a game tonight. They're 7-point favorites at home, Miami-Dade Arena against the Indiana Pacers. The last time they squared off at Miami-Dade Arena, it was a heartbreaker that went in the Pacers' favor. Hopefully the Heat can return that favor here tonight. So, you know, we know we're not going to see Kyle Lowry, who is out for the next three games. We're not going to see Victor Oladipo tonight either, so you're not going to have that punch coming off the bench. You know, Gabe Vincent going to start at point guard. He's been good. Hopefully he really steps it up. He is probable, but, you know, he's going to play. He's on the injury report, but he's going to play. And, yeah, the Heat are going to need their big three to be at their best tonight. Bam, the all-star, Jimmy, the not all-star. We're going to talk about whether he was snubbed or not in a couple minutes. And Tyler Hero, and hopefully the Heat can get a big dub tonight, because they do have to snap a two-game losing skid, and they've got to stay above that seven spot. I know there's a lot of basketball left to play, but the Knicks that they recently lost to were nipping at their heels, so you want to stay out of that dreaded play-in if you can.
Hey, you're right about the Knicks, by the way, and that was a tough game for Miami there. Sometimes feels like they're having a little trouble finding someone to close out games, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, Jimmy just seems – sometimes he seems a little passive in these late game situations here. I don't know that Bam is necessarily the offensive guy you want, you know, handling the ball. And then, you know, Tyler, I gave it a run, man, especially in that Knicks game, but he had a good shot to win that game there. But yeah, I agree with you about this Indiana game, and you got an easy game on Friday at Houston coming in. But as we have figured out, Dono, you cannot take anyone for granted at this point. And you're right, got to win these games, especially at home here, and try to avoid that play-in tournament.
Yeah, like when I look at the Heat being 7-point favorites, I'm already thinking of taking Indiana plus 7, because even if the Heat win the game, you know it's going to come down to a final possession. Like, it's going to be a 2 or 3-point win. So, you know, the smart money might be on Indiana plus 7. We got more coming up here on Red Hot Hoops. When we come back, we're going to play I Got a Question with Marcos.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here on Red Hot Hoops and Odyssey Podcast. Red Hot Hoops and Odyssey Podcast, talking everything Miami Heat, NBA, South Florida Hoops, Alex Dono, Hollywood. And Marcos is with us. And Marcos has got some questions for us. How are you, sir?
What is up, gentlemen? Happy to see all three of us in the same spot at once.
Yeah, it's just a little crowded here in like the Brady Bunch triple box.
Let me put myself on the bottom box there where I belong, underneath royalty here.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen, I have some questions for you. Hopefully you have some answers. Hollywood, I'm going to start with you. All right. Both of you guys can answer, but Hollywood, question is, is Jimmy Butler an all-star snub, in your opinion?
Wow. It's a tough call, but I think no, he is not. He has missed too many games up to this point. You got to give it to guys that are playing. He missed 15 games. I think he has missed too many games. By the way, his reaction to not making the All-Star game, he did not seem to care one bit. I don't, you know, again, I think it's good for him. Let him get away and recharge for the second half of the season. I think this works out well for everyone.
Yeah, you know, I don't even have to answer this question because Jimmy answered the question like Hollywood reference. He doesn't seem to care. He said, me, no All-Star, please. I'll see y'all when I see y'all, he said. But Bam does deserve that. He's been carrying the load a lot this year. I'm happy for him. As for me, I'm happy I get a vacation. So I would imagine that that's the way a lot of 10-plus year veterans in Jimmy's shoes would feel about this situation. He's had his share of All-Star selections and All-Star appearances before. At this point, you know, his body's been banged up this year. He's probably just happy to get a weekend off. So if he's not upset about it, I'm going to say he's not a snub.
All right, staying in the realm of All-Star festivities, as we all know, the All-Star weekend in the NBA is centered in Utah this season. They announced celebrity All-Star game lineups today, which isn't important to us, but they also announced the coaches of those teams, with one of the coaches of the celebrity All-Star team being Dwayne Wade. Does it feel weird to see Dwayne Wade doing so much NBA-related stuff as a member of the Utah Jazz? Donna, I'll start with you this time.
It feels less weird now that he's been with that organization for a couple of years, but I don't know. It's strange. It's one of those things where I know, I'm sure Mickey has told Dwayne, we left the key under the door for you, but Mickey didn't want to sell part of his team to Dwayne, and the Utah Jazz had no problem doing that, so I don't know, man. When it first happened, I felt very uncomfortable with the whole thing. Not that I blame Dwayne, because it's a, you know, great opportunity for him to be part of that organization, but it just didn't feel right. I'm softening on it, so I don't think I'm going to have a lot of those awkward vibes watching D Wade, you know, wearing Utah Jazz stuff. I don't know. That moment is past for me.
Well, let's get this out of the way first. I'm not going to be watching the All-Star Celebrity Game. I went to All-Star Weekend back when it was in Orlando, and a lot of these things are rough, especially in person. But to be honest, man, I don't like seeing Dwayne Wade working for another organization. I think he means so much to South Florida sports in general, right? I mean, he's for a lot of us that are, you know, not older, he's our Dan Marino. Yep. Right. He's the guy that we grew up watching down here in an era where we didn't really have. I mean, who else, you know, if you're, you know, I don't know, 30 something and younger, who else did you have down here growing up? The Dolphins were a revolving door of quarterbacks and players. And, you know, Dwayne was the consistent down here. So, you know, I don't know. He's very, very important to me. Probably my all time favorite player. And, you know, I'm kind of disappointed that he's not down here.
By the way, you mentioned you've gone to All-Star festivities in Orlando before. Isn't the reason why they never have it in Miami, when this seems like it'd be a great fit for it? We just had the NHL All-Star weekend here last week, and that was a lot of fun. But isn't the reason why they never have it in Miami is it's always the same weekend as the boat show, which apparently is such a big event that, like, the two of those things cannot happen at once. So it's like, can we move the damn boat show, or maybe move the All-Star game? Because I would love to have the All-Star game down here in Miami.
So, all right, I will say that first, I am not a member of the boating community.
I'm not either.
I do not know. I do not know much about the boat show, or if that is accurate or not. I, again, will tell you, as someone who has been to the All-Star game, that you will leave that event wondering why you went, even if you go for free. Hell, even if you get paid to go, which at the time I was paid to go to that event, and I still felt ripped off.
Wow. What was there any bright spot? Like, was the night when they do the 3-point and the dunk contest, was that fun at least?
The bright spot was the drive home, Dono. It was the drive home.
Wow.
The dunk contest and 3-point contest, as bad as it's been on TV, guys, it is even worse in person.
Really?
Unless you have a great, you know, and our seats were okay. I mean, we were right there. It's really, you know, but look, again, I can't name you one person that was in our dunk contest because they're just not memorable. Let me ask you guys this. Let me put you on the spot. Can you name one person from the dunk contest last season?
No clue. Cannot. And I watched it and I still don't remember.
Yeah.
Not one person.
Can you name me one of the last three or four champions in a dunk contest?
I can only remember Derrick Jones Jr., and I don't even know when the hell that was.
I still remember
the last three or four years.
I still remember Vince Carter winning it like 22 years ago, and it feels like yesterday. Dwight, the last great memories I have of the dunk contest were Dwight Howard when he came out of the phone booth when he was like his second year.
Have you seen the list for this year?
No.
It's so bad. I don't even remember. I don't even remember the names. I never heard of the guys.
Oh,
yeah, and we follow the NBA, and I play fantasy basketball. I don't even know who these guys are.
There's one G Leaguer that was like.
There is a G Leaguer. They couldn't even find NBA guys.
That's wild.
They're getting crazy with the wild.
Yeah.
All right. Ready for the next question, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Let's just get to it. Will Kyle Lowry be on the Heat roster come Friday?
You want me to go first?
Donald, sure. You go first.
I think he will. You asked me again in 30 seconds, I might have a different answer, but I think he will. And it's the reasons I said before. I think that there are bigger deals to be made this summer than there are this Thursday. So I think he's going to be a member of the Heat when that trade deadline comes and goes.
Hollywood?
Yeah, I agree. I think he'll definitely be here come Friday.
That hurts my heart, but I think you guys are right. I think you guys are definitely right. Now, this one is a little bit more NBA related, although this guy was a member of the Heat. You'll never know that from his Nike commercial, but LeBron James broke the NBA scoring record recently. And realistically looking at it, I'll start with Hollywood this time. Do you think anyone will ever beat LeBron James' record?
Yeah, it's interesting. We were discussing that record versus the NFL record, the Brady record. And we looked at the active list today, and guys are really far away from getting anywhere near LeBron. And he's not done playing, obviously. But with that being said, man, is it easy to score in the NBA. So, yeah. I think if there was one record that could go down, it's that one. I mean, look, I don't see anyone playing NFL football at quarterback until they're 45 like Brady again. But with, again, that being said too, look how long LeBron has played for. He's part 20 of the years. 2003 draft class. Look at one of the best draft classes of all time, and look at the other stars in that draft class. Dwayne Wade is about – hell, he's about to go into the Hall of Fame. He's been out of the league so long. So, I think it's going to be incredibly difficult for someone to pass that one. I think the big names right now, like Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, those guys will obviously not even get anywhere near it. Yeah. So, do one of these, new young guys, it's possible. I think it's unlikely. But, yeah, I think we'll probably see someone come along that might get closer to that. I think that one is a chance, as opposed to that Brady record of being the passing yards, I think is going to be impossible.
I mean, every record in every sport is going to be broken at some point, but I think this one's going to hold for decades, guys. I mean, think about just how long there was between Kareem setting the record and LeBron breaking the record. So this record, it's going to go down someday, but it's probably going to be by somebody who's in diapers right now or in middle school somewhere and like not even in the league at this point, because it's truly incredible that LeBron is the guy to break it. And obviously his longevity has something to do with it, but it's funny because at first when the buzz started to come, within, I don't know how many weeks it's been. And now the last couple of days that, this record's about to go down. And I knew Kareem played for 20 seasons in the NBA. And I'm thinking, wow, like he's going to break that record so quick compared to Kareem. Then I realized LeBron is in his 20th season. Like, it's incredible how fast time has gone by, but it's a testament to LeBron's durability, his longevity. And also, I think what's incredible about this guy's is like, when Kareem played, he was known as a scorer, right? And he had one of the most unguardable shots in NBA history, that skyhook. I mean, he could do whatever he wanted. Nobody could stop that. Whereas, LeBron is probably going to go down in history with like a greater overall legacy as Kareem. I know the old timers are going to be mad that I said that, but LeBron is going to be thought about as potentially one of the best player of all time by a lot of people. But at the same time, like, LeBron's not purely a scorer. Like, he's he's a two-way player, so it's pretty incredible that this is the guy to break Kareem's record, right? Because wouldn't you have thought that, obviously people would have thought it would have been Jordan, who I guess just didn't play long enough, or Kobe, who did play forever, but he wasn't the one to break it, because those guys were scorers. Like LeBron James, yes, he can score, but you don't think of him as being a scorer. So for that guy to be the one to break Kareem's record, I think it's really impressive on LeBron's part. And, you know, not that he needed any cementing of that legacy of his, but he certainly got it with this record. So, yeah, I don't think this is going to be broken for a long time.
So,
well, if Cam Thomas continues to average 43 points a game, he might break it pretty soon. But, just really quick on LeBron's durability is unreal. Talk about a guy that's played into the finals, you know, so many years, man. I mean, think about all those playoff games, all the mileage that those are extra seasons in and of themselves, right? It's it really is incredible the run that he's been on.
I was looking up stats earlier, actually, and in his first three seasons, he played 79 games, 80 games, 79 games. And then I think to people today that are young, that do score a lot, that could possibly reach him, the Ja Morants of the world and the Lucas of the world. And you look at the amount of games that they play, and it's like 67.
That's 67. Another good point.
Mm-hmm. So they don't play as much games. And not only that, he had the high school eligibility. So he's in the league a year early. And he's putting up buckets early on. And this is before they were resting anyone. So I think one of the things, obviously he's a great passer, he's a great leader, defender, all these things. But one of the things that LeBron James is really a freak of nature for is just his durability. And like you mentioned with the touchdown thing, Tom Brady and their durability is really what separates them. Because in order to beat that record, you have to be hitting the ground running. As soon as you're in the league, you need to be putting up 30 points a night kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's such a good point you bring up about the maintenance. Because nowadays it's like, even if you're in your early 20s, nobody's playing 79, 80 games anymore. It just doesn't happen these days. So that's going to make this record even tougher to break.
Yeah, and that concludes your first trip with I Got a Question, Hollywood. Any reviews, you can send it to my people. My people will get back to you, all right?
I'm glad that you have people that I can reach out to. I'm gonna look into that.
His assistants have assistants. Yeah. That's how big-time Marcos is. Well, so we appreciate everyone's time. Guys, make sure you subscribe to Red Hot Hoops. If you're listening to this on the Joe Rose podcast feed, which is nice enough to share it with us, make sure you subscribe to our devoted podcast feed, Red Hot Hoops. We're available on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I mean, literally wherever you get your podcasts, you're going to find us talking all things Miami Heat, NBA. Enjoy the Pacers game tonight. Enjoy the trade deadline tomorrow, and we will talk to you again on another episode of Red Hot Hoops right here on the Odyssey Podcast Network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.